Will we be ready? I desire your prayers this morning. I feel an alarm in my spirit. I don't know if we totally are prepared. And I don't mean to be critical, to face the things that are in front of us. I'd like to share a few scriptures, and I appreciate your prayers and attention, and I'd like for you to give it some consideration. I'd like to look at a couple of scriptures. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. And I'd like to start reading at the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they which with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Here the writer is giving several examples of different judgments that occurred upon ungodliness and upon righteousness. And what I want us to pay particular attention to is verse 4. My message centers around this. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. I had a struggle a long time with understanding what this scripture was referring to. But I believe it's an important message for the saints today. Also, there's a parallel scripture that runs along with this found in the book of Jude. Very similar. 2nd verse, he says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, our King James Version says angels. And sometimes that causes people to think, well, heavenly beings. Revelations, the letters are addressed, said to the angel of the church of Pergamos, to the angel of the church of Laodicea. An angel is used sometimes in, instead of using a word, it means the same thing. It's a messenger. Yes. That's what a minister is to be, is a messenger. Amen. From God. Not to speak his own words, not to follow his own agenda, but to get something from God for the people. Reading this in the book, the Greek Diaglot, I want to read now this scripture, and bear with me, you can hold your place, but I want to read this out of the Greek Diaglot. And it's worded the way it's worded. It's a little bit more difficult to understand in some, but I want us to get the wording. It says, if for the God, messengers having sinned. It uses the words messengers here instead of angels. Having sinned and not spared, but with chains of thick darkness, having confined Tartarus, he delivered up for a judgment being kept. Now I want us to go back and talk a little bit in the book of Genesis in the 6th chapter. And I'd like to start reading at the first verse. It said, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, I want us to notice the distinction here. The distinction is the sons of God. And then it doesn't say the daughters of God, it says the daughters of men. The sons of God, they were living for God. They had knowledge. They had understanding. They had been taught. But it said they looked. Verse 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. They looked out and they saw something that was attractive to them. And they followed after that and they married. Now, I didn't really catch what was happening here until I got a hold of the previous chapter. Then the light came on in my spirit and I began to understand what these scriptures are talking about. When you read chapter 5, it's the lineage of Christ. It's the lineage from Seth. Let's look at chapter 5. Verse 7, it said, and Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And there's a place where it says I'm not for sure exactly where it's at, but it mentions when Enos, I believe when Enos was born, it says men began to call upon the Lord. If you come across that, you can read it out loud. But when Enos came on the scene, he had a desire and his life had an influence. And he said men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Read it out loud. Okay, this is part of the lineage of Christ. Okay, Enoch. What do we know about Enoch? Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Folks, he lived a long time, 300 some years, and begat sons and daughters. This is a pretty large group. But Enoch walked with God. Verse 24, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He had a knowledge. He understood what the Lord wanted. He understood what pleased the Lord. And he walked with God. He was faithful. Now Enoch was in the lineage of Enos. When men began to call upon the name of the Lord, Enos, I'm sure, had an influence upon his life. Let's go on down. Methuselah, he's the one that lived the longest. We know about him. Also in the book of Jude 14 to 15, it said, it talked about Enoch and it said he prophesied. This was a godly line. This was a godly lineage. They were taught what was right. They had a knowledge and an understanding of what was right. But then it said, and it came to pass that men began to multiply. And they looked out, the sons of God, and saw the daughters of men, that they were very fair. And they married. Now going down below this, it talks about what happens next. Verse 5, chapter 6. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was a great departure. There was a great falling away. They intermingled. They began to marry those that weren't living for God. Those that weren't following after righteousness. And the next account we have is that the wickedness was great. And the only one that found favor was Noah. Noah was in the same lineage. He was a preacher of righteousness. Also, we talked about in this fourth verse, it said there were giants in the earth in those days. And I don't feel like it's referring to natural stature. When you drop on down to at the end of that verse, it talks about men of renown. Men that had influence. Men that had power. The angels, the messengers that sinned. They left their habitation. God reserved unto darkness, unto judgment. The Greek says that it took them into custody. You know, when someone's taken into custody, They haven't been judged yet. There's suspicion. And there's evidence. But the trial hasn't came. Judgment hadn't been set. When people begin to turn away from what is right, from the godly lineage, from the godly heritage, darkness comes in. It's serious, folks. It said he had reserved under chains of darkness. It's not a literal chain. It's a chain of a darkness in the heart, in the mind of man.
Yes.
Where they fail to comprehend the will of God. They fail to recognize the voice of the Spirit.
Yes, that's right.
And the leadings of the Spirit. And they say, I don't see it that way. Folks, you and I are living in this time. We're living in a similar situation. Some of you have had great grandparents that have loved God, that have known righteousness, and it's been handed down. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
You don't have to be ashamed of that. The world would like to make you be ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed because mom and dad endeavored to teach you the right way and hold you to the right path. Jesus talked about one place. He said, take heed to the light. Walk in the light, lest darkness come upon you.
Yes.
Folks, we live in a time when there are many testimonies of the Lord. And I know in my own spirit, and I'm not judging, I know the Scripture tells us you'll know them by their fruits. Most of them don't know what they're talking about. But that's the time that we live in. And we need to recognize it. Because we begin to make room. And I know the Lord's merciful. The Lord's patient. But as I begin to follow, I look out and I see things that are attractive. And I begin to follow into that path, you know, it happens gradually. Little by little. I get a little more comfortable.
Yes.
You know, Lot, he didn't go to Sodom right away. It said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know, when I disregard the counsel, when I disregard proven, godly men and known, he told Timothy in one place, I want to get that scripture. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. He mentions here to Timothy, he said, I believe it's the first chapter, fourth verse. He said, I thank God, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that means unpretended. That means something that was genuine and real. Which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Praise the Lord.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. Folks, we better remember where we came from. I know we feel like oddballs in our society. But let me tell you something. 100 years ago, we weren't. The standards of our nation, the morals of our nation, the way people dressed, the way people lived, is totally different than what it is today. And you and I feel pressure. Do you feel pressure? I do. I have severe, sometimes battles in my spirit. Satan coming in, trying to question, bring questions and doubts and fears. How do you think Noah felt? How do you think his children felt? Dad, you sure you're right on this? Nobody else sees it like this. Nobody else is doing this. Lord, help us today. I don't promote self-righteous spirit. But I believe the saints ought to hold the truth in love.
Yes, amen.
The angels which kept not their first estate, their habitation. When it came down, the great multitude, there was only one that was still holding onto what was right. But I'm sure when they got on there and that door was closed, I'm sure they're grateful that they stayed.
Amen.
Folks, you and I are going to face, and I can't tell you everything we are going to face before it's over with, but I feel an urgency in our spirit.
Yes.
This is not a time to live loose. This is not a time to drift. This is not a time to lay aside. We can get to the place where pretty soon it's just like, that's what darkness is. I just really don't see it. I don't really comprehend. That's what happened to all them there in Noah's day. They mocked. What are you building this ark for? Don't you know it hadn't rained? But he kept building. Through all the pressure, through all the criticisms, he just kept building that ark. Lord, help us today to keep building. Help us today to stay close to God. Help us to recognize the powers that are working in our world today. I thought about too when Jesus there, he wept over Jerusalem. He said, how oft I would have gathered you. Did you know we think about Pentecost and there was a few thousand that was saved and that sounded so great? You know how many perished at Jerusalem that was counted in the city of Jerusalem? 1,300,600 some people that was reckoned that perished. They didn't know the time of their visitation. Folks, I know living for the Lord is not always easy. There's consecrations. There's places of denial. There's places of... I recognize that. We need to recognize that because we live in an age of comfort.
Yes, that's right.
We live in an age where people are given to the flesh. Following the flesh. And Lord, help us today to be willing. Help us, Lord, to be willing to yield. Help us to be in a place where the Scriptures become alive to me. Where they begin to burn. Where they begin to unfold and unlock. I was in a place one time spiritually, and the Bible became like reading a newspaper. All it was knowledge. Because I was rebelling, I was resisting the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until I humbled my heart, said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going your way," that the Scriptures became alive. And they became real. And I began to see and recognize. Folks, this is serious. We've got children that are following on behind us. There have been faithful, I mentioned this the other night, there have been faithful men that have gone before us. We knew how they lived. You knew how they lived. Another scripture in 1 Timothy 3:13. I'm sorry, maybe it's 2 Timothy. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How many of you used to say those Bible verses Sunday morning, dreaded having to get up and say a Bible verse? Thank God. Hold on to the Scriptures. Don't just make your decisions lightly and say, "Well, I think it's this way." You better get down on your knees.
Yes.
And you better pray.
Yes, that's right.
"Lord, help me to understand the Word."
Yes.
"Help me to understand the Scriptures." That's what he told him here.
Yes.
He says, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." But there's such a lightness in our world today. There's such a carelessness. There's such a flirtation with the world and the things of this world. And it begins to blind the mind. And pretty soon we see what we did in Noah's day and time. There should have been, there could have been more people on that ark.
Yes.
Paul mentioned it. He said, "Before the coming of the Lord, there shall come a falling away first."
Yes.
And I believe we're living in that time.
Yes, amen.
We're living in the last days. Help us to gird up our loins.
Yes.
Help us to stay in the fight. Lord, help us to stay the course and be faithful.
Yes.
till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Amen.